Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
Yeah, so she's feeling fine, no symptoms.
Very snotty. That's why we kind of tested her.
Good idea. Good beard you have going on, sir.
Yeah. I keep meaning to shave, but keep forgetting. Well, and then the other day I did my head. By the time I finished doing my head, I couldn't be bothered to do my face as well, so I just left it.
Yeah. Have you got past the itchy stuff?
I don't really get itchy, but to be honest, I don't like letting it grow too long because I'm really patchy. I don't grow like a proper beard. So when it gets too long, I look like Lewis Graben.
The Notts Forest player?
Yeah,
fair enough. Well, Granit Xhaka's just got sent off, of course.
Yeah, I heard.
So, that looks like that competition out the window. But then I don't want Liverpool to win, but they will. I'd rather have anyone else win. But it's sad, but I'm more happy that Spurs lost last night than I would be Arsenal going through to this week.
Yeah, Xhaka's just a fucking liability, isn't he?
Yeah, it's like, I've decided to get my bit out of the way. So I'll just get sent off in the 22nd minute against one of the best teams in the Premier League. It's exactly the same thing he did against Man City.
Yeah, it's too often.
And like, his good games aren't that great. But like,
the level of logic you have to deal with now, though, is like people on Twitter, you know, like the current Twitter Arsenal fans who are like really love Aubameyang, and then there's people who like defend Xhaka and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can do that.
No, their own agenda. And then they say things like, to all the Xhaka haters, Vieira got sent off all the time as well. It's like, yeah, as a byproduct of like dominating a whole book.
Yeah, I don't think
he was like half a step out of pace and he would get sent off, not just almost like he's trying to do it.
Oh, yeah, awful. But then, yeah, so I will probably be checking the score throughout this. But Arsenal currently 16-1 to win the tie, which is unbelievable, really. But, yeah. Right, so we haven't spoken since before Christmas. Our viewership's down to zero. Our listenership's is down to zero, so we best get back on with it. Yeah, you're happy to go for another year, maybe, as and when we can do it?
Yeah, I don't like stopping. I think we can. I think like little things like tonight pop up every now and again to just keep you going with something different rather than kind of dipping into the list of ideas that we've had previously. And then it just kind of extends it and that makes us able to carry on.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's episode 6 of season 2. We're going to do a special on Ricky Gervais as it is the release of Afterlife season 3 tomorrow, which people are going mental about. I've seen more of that online on Twitter than any other series he's ever done. So what do you think of Afterlife? Are you a fan of it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I won't. It's not going to be something in 10 years' time that I've watched 20 times over like other stuff. I reckon I'll watch it at some point in the coming years. I'll probably go through it again.
Yeah.
But hard to say, because there's so many things on that kind of backlog list that I want to watch that I haven't. That I say that, but then I might end up just sort of, there'd always be something new, wouldn't there?
Yeah. I tried to watch Deadly Pursuit again today. I know you've mentioned that online. I haven't seen it, but I couldn't find it on any of the streaming platforms. So I ended up watching
It's on YouTube, the whole movie.
Yeah, I have to watch it on YouTube.
Fairly decent quality as well, yeah.
Yeah, I ended up watching Hardball. Seen or heard this Hardball film?
No, I don't think so.
Keanu Reeves is an alcoholic gambler in a lot of debt who has to take over an inner city, an urban baseball team of youths.
now you've described it. I think I've heard the rewatchables gang refer to that. I don't think they've done it.
No.
As a film.
It's not amazing. I wouldn't put it on your list. But yeah, I think it must have been soon after Bill and Ted. He does look quite young, and before Speed. He's got a lot of hair. But yeah.
Pre-Speed.
But yeah.
I watched Juice. I watched Juice the other night.
All right. What's Juice?
Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's one of those films that I wouldn't say I'd forgotten about it, but I don't kind of think of it as often. It was very much like hot on the heels of Boys in the Hood.
But
New York rather than LA.
Okay.
two packs in it.
Right.
I've heard
of this, yeah.
I know Omar Epps, don't you?
Yeah.
He was in, was he in Major League 2? Did he replace?
Yeah, Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, no, Willie Mays Hayes is still Wesley Snipes in 2, isn't he?
In the second one.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I still like that film. Tom Berenger, like I said, there's not a bad film with Tom Berenger.
Yeah, there you go.
All the snipers.
Juice was good. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was decent. I was thinking, oh, I probably liked this when I was younger because it was like I said to Emma, because I was into all that kind of gangster shit. But it was actually...
Yeah.
It was actually good. Yeah, I think it's a decent...
A watchable number. I went a bit highbrow. I watched, I think, The Lost Daughter. I watched with Olivia Colman in Greece or Italy or something, hanging out on a beach. Maggie Gyllenhaal film. And then I watched The Father today with Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman. And they're both, you know, they're both watchable if you like that kind of thing. They're, you know, Oscar films. And they've really gone downhill, I think, what an Oscar film is now. Where like Nomadland won it last year. I don't think I've seen a worse film in the last couple of years, to be honest. It was terrible.
Oh, I didn't watch it in the end. Me and Emma went to watch it a few weeks ago, but we just thought it might be a bit, not the greatest like Saturday night film. So we ducked it. We've obviously just come off the back of a month where we were sort of watching Christmassy films, you know, on Saturday. We didn't watch too many in the end because there was one night where we just blew it off because we couldn't be bothered. And we watched a couple.
A lot of Christmas films are terrible though. I wouldn't sit through a lot of them. I'm seeing something the other day that Love Actually is massive in America. Like a lot of people, I think Martin Freeman, who we'll go on to talk about in a bit actually, he was on Graham Norton and they were talking about Love Actually. And an American couple at an airport asked him if he'd done anything else since. Yeah, good. So how's your week been? How's your new year been? What did you do New Year's Eve?
Emma was asleep because she was unwell, just with like, you know, that Christmas cold. She didn't last till midnight. So she went to bed. I went to bed as well, but I was watching, I was awake at midnight because I could hear fireworks going off. I was watching something on the iPad, but I just couldn't tell you what it was now. I can't remember.
We were in bed by midnight and but we put up like with two fucking cats. Some prick in our village decided to put up fireworks. Not particularly nice fireworks, but very loud. You know, they didn't go particularly high and they were very, very loud, lit up the whole street. But,
I think like he'd just been on a school trip to France?
Yes, one of those. But it was crap. I don't get people doing fireworks. I think it's the ultimate waste of money. It's like a parking fine. Just a waste. You shouldn't be doing that. I like the big displays, don't get me wrong. I won't pay to go in one because I know you can watch it from outside, but buying your own ones.
If you have people firing into the sky, you don't need to actually that side of the fence.
Yeah, unbelievable, really. Yeah, but New Year's Eve was a bit of a washout, really. And so it's Christmas a little bit. We were planning to go back to Hertfordshire to see some friends, and then those people got COVID, so we couldn't stay with them. So we're going to go in a couple of weeks now. But yeah, looking forward to going back. I'm only for a couple of days, not sticking around for too long. But I'll be out of isolation on the 18th, and then we'll get going with life again. Yeah, all a bit crap at the moment. But
you went into London, didn't you, the weekend before Christmas?
Yeah, it was really good. But yeah, it was nice to see people. But the time just goes so quickly when you know you've got to go. You know, we watched Arsenal Leeds. And then Chris Lorimer got COVID and Didi, another mate of ours, got COVID as well. And then they recorded our bit of the podcast, well, Didi did, about it being unavoidable and then sent it to Chris. So sorry if I cursed it, Didi. I know you're probably not listening now. But yeah, well, the joke's on me because I've got COVID now. So we'll muster on. Christmas all good?
Yeah.
Did you get anything?
We were just trying to sort of stay positive then, with Dolly having a positive COVID test that, you know, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Could have been worse a couple of weeks earlier. So, yeah, we had a good Christmas. We did, the weather wasn't great. Obviously, we're, you know, trying to avoid being inside in sort of close proximity to others. And it was very, very wet around here all through Christmas. So on those days where we wanted to get out and about for some fresh air, we were like, you know, half an hour in the park and then having to get back in the car because it started pissing it down. So.
Oh, yeah, crap. But as a 40-year-old man, what was your main present? Tough one, isn't it?
Oh, proper earbud headphones.
Oh, brilliant. I would say. Was that M-scheme?
Yeah. Well, and Dolly, I think.
Yeah, good old Dolly.
Well, you know.
Chucking a bucket.
You know how it goes. That was probably the sort of thing that I wasn't expecting. That was a surprise and it was kind of valuable. And then just bits and pieces other than that. I get sort of low-level grooming products from Emma and Mum once a year that then gradually just last throughout the year because they're like, you know, daily moisturisers that I use weekly.
Okay, yeah.
Because I just forget to do stuff to myself. Yeah. I just shave my head and kind of clean my teeth and that does it.
Yeah, that's a...
last a really long time. Things just start running out and then it's Christmas again and I'm like, I know what I'm getting.
I asked, I dropped loads of hints for an Oculus. Do you know what an Oculus is? Well, those VR headsets you can play games on and it looks like you're in a different world and things.
Oh, no.
So I dropped a few hints about that to Zoe and I've kind of showed her some things. And then a package turned up just before Christmas and it had like warning of batteries inside it. I thought, oh my God, she's got me an Oculus. I can't believe she's actually listened. And then, so I've got a Nintendo Switch. and I love it. It's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. I just kind of, when I opened it, just thought, what is this? I ungrateful. I just want to put that out there.
I'm not very good at thinking of presents. In the couple of weeks before Christmas, I looked, the one thing I had open on my phone for a good few weeks when I was in an R-ing was that re-release Arsenal tracksuit top. I really like that. But then, you know, like it is with anything, the more I looked at it, the more I think I do like that.
Mm.
But once I've got it, I will just look at it and think it'd be better if it was an original one that I'd kept, rather than the one that everybody else will be wearing the next time I go to Arsenal.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just didn't bother. I just didn't bother in the end.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a 40-year-old Christmas, isn't it? I got some golf vouchers and stuff like that. Yeah, very, very happy with what I got and what I gave. Everyone seems to be happy. It's my dad's birthday soon, so we're going down in a couple of weeks to see him and give him a load of stuff. He listens to this, so I'm not going to say what I got him. But he should be happy. My dad plays walking football and he said he wanted like a goalkeeper's top. I think, oh, what goalkeeper's top do you buy? A 70-year-old man.
Oh, wow. Come on then. What was his name? John Burridge.
Yeah, John Burridge, Stoke number or a John Lukic number. But yeah, so I've got, he's got one of them in the post. Sorry, Dad, there you go. It'll be, probably be there in March. So, yeah.
Would that be a jovial name and number on the back?
I don't think you'd like that. But then it is jovial in a way, the fact that I've got him a Ramsdale top and he's like 12. But yeah, it's what it is. I got him the full kit as well, just in hope that he will turn up one day in that full kit. Maybe come down for dinner in it. That'd be great. But yeah, my family. So I think Ryan's film was well received over Christmas and he's very happy about it. And he's, you know, hopefully getting green lighted for a new project. So, he's very happy at the moment.
Good.
Yeah, so everything's well in the Gibbling camp. So we're talking about Ricky Gervais today, like I just said a minute ago. And this came out of just the fact we're both big fans and he's still alive, I suppose. I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to Afterlife season 3, but I'm glad he said it's the last series. I love the fact that he only does like 3 series. You know, I think if The Office was still going now, it'd be terrible.
Yeah, The Office was, what, 2 and the specials, wasn't it? And then Extras, was that 2 and specials as well?
Yeah, 2 and specials. And then after that, we have Derek and then Life's Too Short and now Afterlife. I can't think of another sitcom he's done.
No, could you rank them?
Oh, yeah, easy. Office 1, Extras 2, probably Derek 3, and Afterlife 4, and Life's Too Short 6.
Good shout. I think I'd probably say the same. What's his name? David Earl.
Yeah.
And Derek. He's kind of, is it Kevin? Enough.
Kevin?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and the bits in Afterlife that he does is good as well. He's a fantastic comedy actor. But he kind of goes back to the same people, doesn't he? I think a lot of, like, Peter Kay does it as well, use the same people.
Yeah.
But it's good, I like in Afterlife, the fact that Joe Wilkinson's in it and Roisin Conaty. What's his name? Dennis Pennis. Paul Kay.
Yeah, I'm just looking for it on my phone now because Lewis did something with David Earl, like a little
All right.
I can't remember what it was. I'll dig it out. Lewis sent it to me a while back, probably about a year ago. Yeah. And I was, it was like right at a time when I was kind of, you know, fully aware of who he was because of sort of seeing him and liking him in them. And then Lewis sent it through. I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
That was his name. I knew him as his character, his comedy character name. Is it Brian Gittins?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's like an alter ego thing, hasn't he? I think that's like not exactly the same, but on along the lines of Keith Lemon, you know, someone that he basically is.
Yeah, Super Dave, something like that.
Yeah.
What's I going to say? We had a discussion before Christmas where I say to Zoe, I don't care, and she doesn't like it. And then you suggested to me to say instead, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. So Zoe said,
game changer.
Yeah. So it was a really good idea. And I was worried about my immobilizing my car the other day. And Zoe was telling me about how an immobiliser works with keys and unlocking. And I just looked and went, oh, sorry, I don't mind.
That's not quite it.
Which made me really laugh. Zoe, not so much. And I've been holding on to that till thinking we'll do a podcast and I'll tell Rock all that. So should we jump into a clip and then we'll chat a bit more about probably the oak?
On the way to work, maybe Ricky had had one of his great ideas, as I like to call them, and thought, not only can I make the working day longer, but how can I make it less productive?
Right, please.
1-3-1, take it.
Because he knows I will sometimes laugh at what he does, he kind of created a whole new bit of business.
I'm coming up, so you better get a party started.
Chameau.
He can't stop a scene, he can't stop a take, he has to go with it. And if he laughs, it's his fault. So it was not only Chamon, there was also Timber. And so like made this kind of sound of Timber.
Hey. Timbo.
Timber.
There was also Tim Canterbury, so we should bled forward to the Bishop of Canterbury.
Tim Canterbury. Archbishop of Canterbury. Bishop Muzarewa.
Bishop Muzarewa, he said, which is a name I have not heard since about 1980, and it really made me laugh. Bishop Muzarewa, like that.
It's all good stuff. It's all good work.
Okay. So that's what I'm going to say.
Okay. Is it, though?
There he is. Mr. Canterbury, Archbishop of Canterbury, Bishop Muzarewa.
Bashing the bishop.
I don't know exactly why he did that. It's because he wanted to see me, the more professional and experienced of the two actors, fumble.
Right, so that is a clip I've chose. It's from the Christmas special Office Bloopers. Of basically Ricky Gervais just trying to make Martin Freeman laugh for his own pleasure, which seems to be a common theme in everything Ricky Gervais does, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Because we were talking bloopers not too long ago, weren't we? And it's you could easily do we're doing a Ricky Gervais episode and a bloopers episode. Yeah. You could easily do a Ricky Gervais bloopers episode, but then I think I said when we were doing it with some of them, like I would love to be there, and I just think it would be so much fun. Do you think there is anybody in that room who is like, I've got to get home tonight? Do you think that the moment does take? And there must be some people who are just like, it's a job.
It's a bit sad if you think of it that way, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
I'm here to get paid, I'm an actor. I don't think there's anyone in that room who thinks to themselves, like, I'm a serious enough actor to not get involved and enjoy those bits. I think when Ricky Gervais wants you to be in something, you know exactly what you're getting almost. He's going to do that kind of thing. And maybe that's why he works with the same actors and actresses a lot of the time.
They do.
So what's her name? Ashley, who's in Extras as his mate, and is also now the nurse in Afterlife. She's brilliant at putting up with him. And you see like any kind of blooper package or behind the scenes, he knows exactly how to make her laugh because they work together so much. Yeah. And I think he thrives on that. And he, like Martin Freeman says, he loves making the day longer by messing about. I think you must be an absolute joy to work with. But
yeah,
there's lots of clips of like him with Warwick Davis, where he's like dressing him up as a frog or a Muppet and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just think, is that all right? Yeah, do you know what I mean?
There was in the very early sort of Ricky Gervais days, it must have been, I don't know whether it was, I think it was probably like bonus footage on the Office DVDs made when Robin Ince was his,
yeah,
and he was like taping his face up and like sitting on top of him and God knows what else. Yeah. He's always had that side of him, hasn't he, where he'll happily have a stooge with him that he'll just do stuff to.
Yeah, like a hanger-on, isn't it, almost? But Robin Ince, you could tell, was his mate and didn't like it, which made Ricky do it more, you know?
And
really good. I think it's called Living with Ricky. And he was the support act for him on the Animals tour. Animals or Politics, I'm not sure. One or the other. And he's like going, people say he's a comic genius, and he's just running around a pillar shouting, he's fluffy, he's lovely, he's lovely and he's fluffy, he's fluffy and he's lovely. And you see the disdain in Robin Ince's face. I've seen Robin Ince live. I thought he was really good, really funny. he told us a joke about Ian Huntley, and then he said, I'm not particularly a fan of Ian Huntley, I mean, I haven't joined the fan club. And like it got like a ooh, and then people laughed. And then two people walked out, and it was like 2 minutes into his set, and he just watched them go and then just looked at everyone and went, unbelievable. Like, because with Robin Ince, he used to sing the song that Kermit's nephew used to sing, that who was called Robin in the Muppets, Halfway Up the Stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Continuously singing it next to his face. And you think, it's almost like a paid companion. Just, I'm going to pay you to be on, like, this massive tour, and I am just going to be the person I am. And I think you either get on board or get off, don't you?
who's that bloke that Aaron and Bert always used to like, whose nickname was Do It?
Yeah, is it Jay Chapman? No, he was Hacking.
No, but I can see why you would say that, because I think he kind of resembled him. It wasn't him. It was someone I know. No, it wasn't him either. It could have been.
Yeah, I understand where this is going, though. I think.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, his nickname was Do It, because like them two were just. Yeah, he was there for their enjoyment.
Yeah. You see that a lot on like what building sites, don't you? People like new people getting bullied. And I think I would hate to step into that environment, because I'd think everyone's trying to stitch me up at every moment and never get anything done.
Yeah, I don't know how true a lot of those stories are, because they're really old, you know, like telling people to go and ask for check, like tartan paint and all the rest of it. I don't know if they're true, but what's happened is they might not be true, but now in the days of camera phones, people have actually started doing them to people and filming them. So they've come sort of back with a vengeance. The new one you've seen now is that, telling someone if you can do like cement bags above it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like incredibly harmful cement.
Yeah. You don't want that in your system, do you? The other ones where you have a funnel down your pants and you try and drop a 2p from your forehead into the funnel, and then a few people try it, and then the new person tries it, and whilst they're looking up, you just pour water down the funnel. Like, I've seen that on Facebook 100 times, I think. But I remember someone telling me this story that they were asked to go and get tartan paint. So they just fucked off to Screwfix for 2 hours and come back and went, nah, they ain't got any. just got out of work for 2 hours, you know. Yeah, have you ever seen any of Ricky Gervais stand up live?
No. I've seen the live stand up, but I haven't seen him live yet.
Because obviously Supernature's out soon, but then there's Animals, Politics, Fame. And what was the last one? Humanity? Was it not Humanity? I went to see it. Was it Humanity? Was it New Zealand? Humanity. It's a, like all about people are terrible and dogs are great. I'm sure it's the Humanity.
Yeah. Thing.
Anyway.
It feels like there was more of that. Definitely Animals and Politics. Fame was next, was it? All right. I thought there was an extra one squeezed in there, but maybe not.
I'm just thinking, if I was down my garage, I could tell you, because I've got them all on DVD. Science. There was a science one.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Purple cover. He's got bolts in his neck. There's also one called Out of England, which was basically the Fame tour, I think, which he did as well. But I think Animals stands up as one of the best stand-up DVDs of all time. What's your thoughts on these?
Yeah, I think one of the things that would kind of elevate it to that is just like when it came out, with it being the first one.
Yeah.
And off the back of him establishing himself as a comedy actor, creator, writer, to then all of a sudden just go, oh, I can do stand-up as well. And do it that well, because he probably wouldn't consider himself a stand-up comedian, like, first and foremost, would he?
No.
He's just got the material and the sort of ability to do it.
Yeah. So I went to see him live on the Humanity Tour in London somewhere, and it was really good, really funny. Loved every part of it. He mainly talks about the kind of people having to go at him on Twitter and him having to go back. And that was kind of the whole show. different things that he spoke about that he's got in trouble for, and, you know, the Golden Globes and things like that. And it was, you know, really interesting, because he is a mega star now, isn't he? He's won, like, American awards and stuff, and, you know, he's known all over the world, which is fantastic for someone who is in these little sitcoms in Britain. And, you know, I think he's really good for that. But I haven't seen many good films with him in, sadly. I've seen Ghost Town a few times. I've seen Night at the Museum a few times with his bit parts. But I think I've probably seen every film he's in other than the Stardust. but yeah, what I like about him when he's in a film.
Eric Banner. Was there an Eric Banner one where they were like...
Yeah, Netflix special. It's kind of called like something like Crime Detectives, isn't it? It's like... I remember him saying that he doesn't take a part unless there's a man from Reading in it. So can you be in this? I will only play the part if there's a man from Reading who looks exactly like me. Cemetery Junction's a good film, but yeah, some of his stuff doesn't go well. And then when he goes out and just hammers everyone in Hollywood, I think, oh, well, no wonder you're not getting getting bigger roles and bigger films. But I don't think he really cares. I think he's made his money and he's just does what he wants to be happy now. And fair play to him.
Yeah, if they keep paying him to do those awards shows, then, you know, that's the green light, isn't it? They can't ask him to do it and then complain about what he says. They know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah, but I've really liked the Golden Globes things he did. I think I've seen them multiple times and I'm quite happy to put them on at any point and still laugh along with it. But what was I saying about Humanity? And then the special was put on Netflix. And all the times you think he's ad-libbing, he's not. He does it again. I think he may ad-lib at the start, and if he gets a good laugh, keeps it in. I think that's incredibly clever to do that. I don't know if he writes it with the ad-libs in, like pretend to ad-lib here and say this. There was no difference between the show I saw and the special on Netflix, even though they were separate tours. Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Where did you go? Somewhere in London, did you say?
Yeah, it's obviously Shepherd's Bush or something like that. I can't remember.
All right, that's what I was going to ask. I was wondering what kind of size venues he plays, because you feel like he could go bigger than that, couldn't he, if he wanted to?
Yeah, I think he could sell out the O2, but I think he'd lose kind of a lot of the kind of what he likes, I think, is people, a smaller venue, to kind of get a better feel for it. Like when we went to that comedy festival in Bristol, you know, the comedians on stage couldn't hear people laughing and it was all a bit awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely a point that when it goes above a certain... when it goes above a certain sort of size, it does lose something, especially for that sort of thing. So that size, like Shepherd's Bush and sort of
Hackney Empire.
Brixton Academy,
but I'm sure he's done Madison Square Garden stuff as well, though. I think he's proper big time. I don't know. I think he's brought me so much joy in my life. But then other comedians really don't like him, and I'm not sure if that's through jealousy or it's, you know, people dig him out. If you're a comedian like James Acaster, about using the word mongs about his fans, like that. And Richard Herring did the same thing. I'm not sure. I think because Ricky Gervais is like a force of nature, he gets away with it. Do you reckon he gets away with more because of his stature? Or
I do, but I think sometimes, like, you could probably look through James Acaster for the last few years and find something that someone would be offended by. That's the whole nature of offence, isn't it? You know, if you take Doug Stanhope, when it said, if you take everybody in the room and take away everything that each one of the people in here is offended by, I'd be left with juggling.
I seriously don't think there's anything that would lead me to be so offended. I don't, like, I thought about this the other day. I don't think there's, when people say, like, try and wind you up, say, like, kids used to try and wind me up at school if they were upset with me. And, you know, they bring your family and things like that into it. I never got the, sorry, mum, that I shagged your mum, like, as an insult. I think my mum's like 70. I'm sure she could. I don't know. She wouldn't like the fact that it's not my dad, but I'm sure, like, I don't understand how I'm insulted by you having sex with my mother. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but, it's a go-to sort of catchphrase for a lot of people. But I think you've just sort of a good example of what I was thinking as you sort of started to say that the act of someone saying that doesn't offend me.
No,
it does make me just think like, oh, you're unoriginal. Like, come up with something better.
Yeah, and
yeah,
like obviously the way I look, I've had people call me ginger for like glasses and stuff. And you just kind of go, like, oh, I think there's better stuff than that out there.
Yeah,
you know, I don't understand it. I don't ever get it. And you can always, like, after 39 years, you can beat people to that punch so quickly that it regards it pointless.
Go on, mate. I get called baldy like all the time, but you know, she's four, so
yeah, that's brilliant. I wonder who taught her that. Yeah. Right, let's go with another clip.
And select your formation first of all. I've obviously gone for the Christmas tree formation, of course. Yeah, there you have it.
71 years ago, so I was two when I come.
Yeah.
You know, Chungy Lee, I call him Chungy, will be devastated by that.
Compilation of where people acted a bit like David Brent on Sky Sports. I love that.
Yeah.
The Christmas tree one gets me every time. It's like, have you seen the clip of Paul Whitehouse and Harry Enfield do an impression of David Brent or Ricky Gervais?
Yeah.
And I think it's very much like that. Ooh, isn't it? Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what made you choose that one, mate? Other than it's brilliant.
I think when I was searching, the guy Rob Locke came up at some point, who's the shopping channel I mentioned to you.
Yeah.
And then they're a bit long, and most of the clips of him now are post people pointing out it to him, so he's potentially milking it and acting up to it. Okay. They're a bit long and not that great. And then that just popped up, and I've not seen it before, so I looked at it and I thought it was a good example of what I was sort of trying to say to you, that I just think Ricky Gervais is one of them people that, I suppose the posh term is that he's kind of transcended like comedy, hasn't he? He's now just out there. Like, I always, whenever I think of people sort of transcending stuff, it's usually sport. Like Michael Jordan transcended his sport. He was, people who had no interest or idea about basketball still had posted Michael Jordan. I just think in David Brent in particular, Gervais just created a character that is just now, it, like, in people's vocabulary, people say, oh, he's a bit Brent.
Yeah.
And it is an adjective. And I just think it's such a massive thing to think that he's sort of created this character that now gets used as a way of describing people.
Yeah.
And so some of those, the mannerisms and the things that people do in that clip are absolutely like spot on. They're not even whoever found those is been put them together is really good, but all of them slightly different. And some of them are specific to specific bits of The Office.
Yeah.
And just sort of, I don't know, like just mannerisms and nuances. But the first one, for the benefit of people that don't watch it, the first one is, with no sound, is Sam Allardyce walking to a press conference and points at the Betway logo on the sort of screen behind him. And it's the
monkey. Bit,
the office where he points at, and says, just an example of the laughs we have around here.
I've no idea why Sam Allardyce is pointing at Betway. Like, it gives it the Lambert face. You know what I mean? It's a great clip. And then he says about the Christmas tree formation, and it is Christmas. I thought I'd point that out. And then the look he gives down the camera and bring back Stavros. Beware of the wife, bit sexist. Yeah, I think it's only Brent and Partridge that really have that.
Yeah.
Maybe Basil Fawlty as well.
I was thinking, Basil Fawlty was the one I was thinking of when I was saying then, you know, like when people have like a meltdown and go crazy, it would be referred to a Basil Fawlty moment. What's the, in the Alan Pardew one at the end, what is the name he's saying? Is he saying Chungy?
Chungy or Chum Lee, I thought.
Yeah, and then he says, oh, Lee, that's what I call him. So that's obviously David Brent. But that reminds me, you said Lambert a minute ago.
Yeah.
Lambert always says Gibbo to you, doesn't he, because of The Office as well.
Yeah. And that's another thing I don't like, being called Gibbo. I think it's crap. I think it's unoriginal. I don't want my name to become Gibbo. It's like kids at school called me Goblin, and you just think, oh, that's shit as well.
But, I still do the Gibbo thing, though. If I'm if I'm at work and someone refers to someone who I don't know or who nobody really knows, like, you know, just someone we've never met, but they're someone who we're maybe dealing with by email. And if they've got a name which lends itself well to that, I'll still do it. So if someone says, oh yeah, have you seen that email from
Hendo,
Mike Barnes, I'll go, Barnesy.
Right.
Oh my God, that name must be burned into my head. Mike Barnes is the name of the Daniel LaRusso's opponent in Karate Kid 3.
Oh, really? That's amazing knowledge.
Karate's new bad boy.
I've got obviously time off at the moment. I was going to put on Cobra Kai today. Have you seen any of that series?
I'm like, I would refer to being bang up to date with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's worth putting on, is it? I might have a go.
Yeah, you've got to have an open mind. It is ridiculous. And it's almost as if they've done well, though, because they've managed to create this thing where they say, right, what is the crappiest, cheesiest, most cringeworthy thing we could do now?
Yeah.
Let's do it. And everyone will love it. And it seems to be working for them. So you'll spend most of your time just like scratching your head as to how it's been made. But you might carry on watching it like I did.
Well, Mr. Miyagi's dead now, so is he in it?
No, they occasionally flash back to the films, and they cover like Dan goes on about Mr. Miyagi so much,
banging on about him.
Almost to the extent that you're like, well, you want to say, why don't you marry him then?
Yeah. Hopefully, he'll have like that Ian Wright, Mr. Pigden moment at the end. He kind of brings him back.
They tell me you're dead.
Yeah. Oh, right, I'll have a go at that tomorrow. Yeah, there's not a lot on that I haven't seen at the moment. It's depressing as fuck. Have you got a favourite quote from The Office? And I'm putting you on the spot there.
No, I did think about it the other day because that was what I was, the bit I was sort of, I was, that was what I was going to look for. I was, my clip was going to be my favourite Office one, but then I struggled. I think, yeah, against karate is very close. I think, I'll probably stick with that for now, and then I'll let you know later if I change my mind. But I think, that one.
I think it's more kind of his faces and stuff that I find funny. And when it cuts away to when he has like a bit to camera, when, you know, and that's Crufts, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Those bits I really like. But when he's just, I think it's when his new boss, is it Neil? Neil is new boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, has kind of a go at him and he pulls those kind of faces like the Lambert. I always think of him as Lambert. That kind of, he's thrown a kettle over a pub. What have you done? But I think that's a Gareth line.
Yeah, well, that's... you could sort of... Gareth and Tim bits and Finchy bits and that. And you could still kind of pick it as a Gervais moment because the crowd
shows
together. It was his idea and he did it all. But that's why it's so strong, isn't it? Because those sort of side characters are so good. I think the other one I was thinking of involves Tim and Gareth, but for a while was my favourite bit, mainly because, you know, the things people say about you can, on the like the 10th viewing, you see a bit that you haven't noticed before.
Yeah.
And I think that a good few times in, the stapler in the jelly bit.
Yeah.
I'd laughed a few times just at the overall premise and the bits that Tim says and everything else. And then it was after a long time when I heard that little bit in it where he pulls it out and David Brent does his classic thing. Well, don't waste food. Eat it out. There's kids out there starving, which I hate.
Yeah.
Then for a long time, that was then the funny bit that I laughed at. And then the next time I heard it, I hear him say, oh, it's got my, how do you know it's your stapler? It's got my name written on it in Tippex. And then David Brent goes, don't eat it now then. And then there's a pause and someone else starts talking. You just hear Brent say, chemicals.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good when you've watched something so many times. We were talking about it the other day, weren't we? I think the worst one, I think, is in Happy Gilmore. I've seen this so many times. That when he's signing the old lady's boobs near the end, there's an extra behind the old lady. Try and have a proper good look at her. And it always, always makes me laugh. The same thing in The Wedding Singer when having the like argument on the plane at the end and Glenn is trying to go down one of the aisles and an extra comes over the seats and is trying to start like, what do we do? But he's obviously an unpaid, like, he's not allowed to talk in the film. So it's, he just gets in the way and it kind of takes your focus. I just think, oh, that's, he was not told to do that. It's like, oh, yeah. So yeah, if you're out there listening, watch stuff a lot.
I'd recommend it. I just think you end up like, I don't know, the more you, it increases the little, the kind of pool of things you've got in your head, which then a bad day can be, I have had like frustrating and bad days at work where one really small sort of irrelevant thing happens and I see something or hear something and it will make me laugh because it will remind me of something that I like. And I think I remember them because I've seen them over like an over average amount of times. So I don't, I generally don't see things once and remember them like that. But it is worth it occasionally.
There's not too many things on that, like I could go into the minutiae of things, but yeah. Happy Gilmore is definitely one. I think maybe just Adam Sandler movies. Maybe
Happy Gilmore is brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, I think we might have to do a Sandler episode in a few weeks' time.
A role, a type of role that you've wanted to play that they have not offered you yet.
I suppose anything remotely sexy that wouldn't work. A villain in a sort of superhero, just an evil guy in a superhero film. That would be funny.
You'd like to be like an evil supervillain?
Yeah, that'd be good.
What would your power be, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't thought it through. I didn't know. Do I have to have a con? I'd be annoying. I'm really annoying. I could do that.
You'd be super annoying.
Yeah, anyone that came to Batman would go, oh, this is just
they wouldn't even go to fight you. Yeah, they would. No, you'd be so annoying.
I'd just be like, what is that? It'd be stuff like that. It'd be stuff.
Really?
Like, yeah, I could do that.
Just over and over again.
just things.
Come, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
You can't. That's awful.
It'd be amazing.
You're incredibly annoying.
Annoying.
You're incredibly annoying. You're awful. You're incredibly annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You're the worst guy ever.
Am I?
I hate you. It's terrible.
I haven't been on this show for a while, but it's good to see we kept up the high standards.
Yes, this is the high standard. Anyone tuning in right now sees two grown men. You know, I do know how to defeat you.
What?
We've talked about this before. You're very ticklish.
I am.
That would be the way to defeat him. He's very ticklish.
Okay. That is my kryptonite.
Yeah.
Imagine that in a Batman movie. It would be amazing.
What a great...
Oh, annoying old man. You're not... Shut up. The worst superhero film ever.
Good work, Batman. Well, I'm there. If you need help with that movie, I am there.
Right. So that is Ricky Gervais on the Conan O'Brien show, one of his thousands of appearances on American talk shows. And you could see that he asked him a question that he wasn't planning to ask him about what his super villain power would be. And then he says, I don't know, do I have to have one? And then he goes to have the time of his life in the super annoying person that I think he is at heart. And, you know, we've seen him do those, like some of the things he does there, he does to Robin Ince in those, the noises.
Yeah.
The impression of it, because it is really annoying. And then, yeah, I just find that funny every time I watch it. It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Showing how annoying he can be.
Mm-mm. I don't think I've seen that before.
Oh, really?
No, that was good. I like that. I really like Conan as well. I don't recall having seen that before because I was sort of why I was sort of laughing when I was, because a lot of the time you sort of smile along with these things because you've seen them so many times. But I don't recall seeing that before. But like Conan clips, which I do get quite a lot of them come up because of the Norm days.
Yeah.
If I saw Ricky Gervais a lot of the time on American talk shows, I generally wouldn't click on it because I would imagine it would just be them just like fawning over him.
Yeah. I love it when English people are on American shows, and I like to listen out to what they say about England and stuff, you know. So I like Ricky Gervais was on Letterman a lot. We're Letterman, a big fan of Letterman. And, you know, he's on there a lot of times. And they're all very good as well. With Conan, I think you could get away with a bit more because it's not got a bigger viewership as Letterman has. And they don't kind of, I think they just kind of let him go, even though he's got stuff to sell. I'm sure he was doing the rounds, like the press rounds, because he was in Spy Kids 2 as the voice of one of the dogs. So they got him on every show again, you know. I think American comedians really love Ricky Gervais. And,
you know, oh, yeah.
Those Ricky Gervais meets. He does one with Larry David, which is brilliant. Yeah. And they have a good in-depth chat about the writing of comedy and things. And you could see that Gervais is a massive fan of Larry David. But what he doesn't get is that Larry David's a big fan of Ricky Gervais, which must blow his mind, you know?
Yeah.
And then he does. Have you seen the one where he meets Gary Shandling?
I saw all of them.
Yeah.
Like back then. Yeah.
I think Gary Shandling hates him. There's like tension in the room. It's really not a good, like, Gervais is trying to interview him and Shandling's just not interested at all. He's just like, who's this person in my house? And it's a little bit sad, and you see Gervais is kind of, you know, I'm a big deal, like, no, why don't you like me? I'm all right. But his Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is really good as well. I think you've got to get to know him before you like him. And you know, you wouldn't just watch one Ricky Gervais stand-up show and go, oh, he's brilliant. I think there's a bit of background you need to get into beforehand. His annoying traits. I love that. He's touching his face. You can see. And then when he goes, annoying. Am I? Oh, I just love it. Makes me go.
Well, you can tell he is annoying because he's just firing, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, like,
if I said to someone, I'm going to try and be annoying, I'd then be like, right, what can I do? But he's just got them all, isn't he? And then the minute like Coach tries to step in, he sort of jumps on it and then does the next thing before he's had time to kind of gather himself from the funny noise. He's doing something different, and then he goes back to the funny noise. And
I think it's the first series of The Office, and they show them writing it, and Merchant's got the camera on his face, and then keeps going back to Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais has got his feet on the desk and he's just stuffing tissue into his face and making that noise. And he just keeps going back to Merchant's like straight face. Oh, it's brilliant. Oh, I didn't realise how much of a fan I was of him. But then when I think that how many DVDs and like going to see him live, I don't think anyone could like say, oh, you're not a true fan of him. You know?
When you've sort of got all of those, and I think I would say quite often when we do these, I think you've got a more kind of broad, like across the board broad knowledge of a lot of the people we talk about and have seen more of what they've done.
Right.
I'm a bit of a, like, you know, one thing. So I like Ricky Gervais.
Because somebody asked me earlier, would you say Ricky Gervais is one of the best comedians of all time? I said, I think of all time, he's probably in top 10, but I still don't think he touches Dave Chappelle and, you know, Richard Pryor. I don't think he's as good as Eddie Izzard, but he's obviously quite popular at the moment and he's a big draw and he would fill out a stadium, like you say. But he's not at Chappelle level. He's, I think, probably similar to like Louis C.K. Obviously, Louis C.K. is not talked about much anymore, but... of all time, definitely top 10, and in my personal, he'd probably be in top 2-3.
The Billy Connolly thing that was on ITV on Boxing Day, I didn't watch it on Boxing Day, I watched it a few days later, and I love him so much.
I liked
his, obviously I've always liked his stand-up. He was one of the first ones I ever sort of heard, because my mum and dad would listen to him and add like the audio clips from like the comedy albums and that. But just Billy Connolly as a person as well, he's so just, you know, he isn't like people talk about national treasures, but he definitely is one. I like him so much that it's hard for me to put anyone above him, just for sort of, he's good anyway, but just personally speaking, I just think I was laughing so much. I was like tears. I think it was quite, you know, it's quite a sad program to watch because it's following him in his, you know, old age and everything else. So it's quite one of those quite emotional programs. So when he does then break that moment with something funny, it does kind of, it's that kind of cry laughing that you do. But he told a story about, I won't do it because it's too long, but he told a story, I think he said he turned it into a joke, but it was a story that Liam Neeson told him.
Right.
About a guy running a cat over in a little village somewhere. And then he then, if you look it up, you'll find it. I think it was a story that Liam Neeson told him, and then Billy Connolly kind of, you know, put a twist on it and turned it into like a anecdotal sort of joke that he told on stage. And oh God, I was absolutely in bits when I was here.
And it's kind of like one liner things, like, you know, you should only judge a man when you've walked a mile, or let someone judge you once you've walked a mile in their shoes. Have you seen that? And then you go, who'd care? Because then you'd be a mile away from him and you'd have his shoes. Like, I was listening to, I can't remember the name, Paul Gambaccini on Radio 2 driving somewhere the other day. And it had the charts from... Yeah, 1975, right? And at number 10 was a new entry, Bohemian Rhapsody, okay?
Yeah.
Number 6 was Imagine by John Lennon. Number 2 was Space Oddity by David Bowie. Like, these massive, like, all-time songs, you know? Number 1, Billy Connolly, D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Mad, isn't it? In front of Love Is the Drug, Roxy Music, You Sexy Thing, Hot Chocolate, Rhinestone Cowboy, all in the top 10 of that week, and number 1 was Billy Connolly. You can't, like, think how big he was, really. Could you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Ricky Gervais has done, like, things in music, but, you know, David Brent singles aren't going to number 1.
No.
Even though that...
Sort of comparison, because Billy Connolly is absolutely adored in America as well, isn't he?
Yeah. But another person that didn't really get well received in movies and things. The movies he is in are not massive films. I couldn't think of like 5 off the top of my head. You know. But
I don't think it wasn't in this program I watched this year, but over the last few years, occasionally little documentaries do pop up. There's been that one list this year on ITV was a follow-up from one they did last year, like a one-off, and then revisited it. But in the last couple of years, there's been a little Billy Connolly Made in Scotland thing.
Oh yeah.
Back to kind of where he's from. And there's a bit in it when he's Billy Connolly's a massive sort of fan of the fact that people that he knows from where he's from are funnier than he is.
Yeah.
You know, he'll say, oh, I'm only funny, like, there's someone down the road from me who's as funny as I am.
Yeah.
And he said that he was interviewing someone who worked in the shipyards, and they were talking about the noise and the awful racket and everything else. And he said, "And how did you cope with that?" And the bloke went, I went deaf.
All his world tour of Scotland, his world tour of Australia, really good, I think. You could just... probably follow Billy Connolly around and it'd be funny all day. Obviously he's got a bit of a cognitive decline now, hasn't he, with his Parkinson's disease and stuff, and he's stopping touring and stuff. My parents are still big fans of Billy Connolly. They went to see him a couple of years ago in Scotland and they said he was like amazing. But I think there was something in the press that week where Billy Connolly had some problems with someone in the paparazzi, and he just spoke about that for a lot of the time, and they were a bit, well, you know,
almost
like you want the classics, but you know, that kind of takes over. You know, like when we went to see James Acaster, he had to throw someone out at the interval and they refused to leave. And then after the interval, he didn't really do his show. He just spoke about the problems of trying to throw people out. And it was, you think, so that Cold Lasagna Hate Yourself tour, which is now like nominated for best stand-up in the world, like this year, we didn't get to hear the second half of it because Gareth in row three decided to call him a cunt. That's what I hate about going to see things, is other people.
You need to turn into become like a multi-millionaire who like pays people to come perform for them in their house.
Yeah, like I'm a big Stormzy fan, right? And at 39, that's difficult. So even though I've got both his albums on CD in my car and both albums on vinyl as well sitting here, and I really want to see him. Every time I've seen him on telly, Glastonbury, Reading and whatever else, I think he's amazing. I think I like everything he does almost. So I thought, I've got to go see him live. So he had cancelled doing Cardiff, the stadium, the principality there. So I thought, I bet the tickets got released at the O2. So I thought, I've got to go. So I kind of put a message out to a few people that like, I know would kind of go to these things. So me and my friend Adam and his girlfriend Heidi are going to go. And then I thought, I don't know what kind of tickets to get. And then I thought, I'll just get the tickets as far away from the stage as possible. Even though they're a bit cheaper and it's a bit of like, it's up high and the view wouldn't be good. I just hate to be like, I wouldn't know what to do. I don't know what to wear.
Well, no, because you could be like that kid that Dave got up to sing the Tiago Silva song.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, you're saying about not knowing what to do that.
Yeah.
When I was in the crowd at that Dave Chappelle gig,
yeah,
they had a proper like, you know, DJ on stage like whipping the crowd up, and he was getting people to sort of, you know, put their hands in the air and everything else. And
like they just don't care.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, and I think he's a legend and I respect it, but I don't want to do these things you're asking me to do.
I do care. I just care. I am going to see Stormzy in March, and hopefully I'll come out alive.
Look at it, like I say, a bit of snow, a bit of cold, everything comes to a standstill.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't go out, it's dangerous, you'll slip over, people having time off work.
Yeah. What would you do, right, if you run a business, right, your business could go under, right, it snows a bit, you've got 10 employees, you're paying them well, and they go, I can't come in today, Carl, a bit icy. I'll do it, okay? Right, they're snowed in, right? You're running the business. What are you running?
It's a... big myself up. It's just a factory.
Toilets. So you run a... Okay, right, okay. You pay them all right, don't you?
I'd say most of them are on above average.
So you're there. What time do you get in?
About 8:45.
8:45, waiting for them to come in at 9, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, right, it's snowing. It's a bit snowy. You got there, it took you a bit while. You'd set off early, did you? Or?
Gave myself a bit more time because I had to put the heating on the car.
Okay, ring.
Hello, KP Plumbing.
Is that Miss Pilkington?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Who's that?
It's Sheila. Listen.
Sheila, shouldn't you be here by now?
Yeah, no, I was going to set off.
We'll set off now, stop wasting time, we've got a big order on.
No, I know.
We're all on a bonus here if we get this done. I'll see you in 10 minutes, shall I?
I can't make it.
What?
I can't make it.
Why not?
The car won't start and it's slippy on the drive. I just can't get out.
Get the transport. I'll give you 20 minutes, all right? Don't worry about it. Well, thanks for calling.
I'm also scared of the ice. I'm not going to come in today. It's dangerous.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to wait until the ice and snow goes away and then I'm going to come in.
But they're predicting it's going to be about 2 weeks before they clear all this.
I can't really travel in this. It's a bit dangerous.
Well, I'll tell you what. You stay at home. I'll replace you. Because I need someone to come in.
What,
are
you firing me? Because I can't get into work with this.
Well, I got into work, Sheila.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you don't live with me, do you? If you did live with me, then you'd probably see
how... It was bad where I was as well. Yeah, here.
Do you know how bad it is here? When you come round and have a look how bad it is here,
no,
you drive
I'm
my...
Not coming
tell
round
what, you come round and drive my fucking car, because I'm snowed in, you fucking calling me a cunt. And I'll tell you, if you fire me, I'll take you to a drive uni, you bald-headed wanker.
Right, you're fired anyway for that.
You're in fucking trouble then.
Right then, see ya. Right, and right. Then she's done with. She's weak anyway.
Ring.
KP Plumbing.
Hiya, is that Miss Pilkington?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Hi, it's Bobby.
Bob.
Bit of trouble. in my area, it's absolutely snowing. It's possible. No one's getting out. I live near Sheila.
Bob,
by
listen.
The way.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sheila's just been on. She's saying she can't get in either.
She can't. I've just seen her out there trying to dig her car out, and she's about. She's really, really tried hard to get to work, but she can't do it because she's not very rich, and her car doesn't work. She hasn't got the right tyres, and there's no public transport. They've cancelled those. Wrong snow on this country. I'm not going to make it in today, son. So
I'll see you tomorrow, right, boy.
Well, no, you're saying you'll see me tomorrow.
Yeah.
But you'll probably call up tomorrow with the same thing.
Well, only now, if it's snowing still.
Now, listen,
it might not
happen. Well, I can't run a business like this, Bob.
Yeah, it's not my fault, is it, really?
So go round to Sheila's and like, slag me off if you want. But I'll tell you what, you're not coming back here. Oh. Fuck off. One chance. Give them one chance.
Oh. Well, you didn't even give them one chance.
No, because they'd done it before.
Just
annoys me.
Right, so that's from the Carl Pilkington show. It's a Ricky Gervais show, isn't it called? Sorry.
Oh, okay.
And it's mainly Carl. It should be the Carl Pilkington show, shouldn't it? It's
yeah.
A fantastic podcast. It was great on XFM, and then it went to